Today's sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Mem Tes. We continue to learn for the safety and success of Chayilei Tzva Hagana Yisrael. We continue to learn that they should bring back the Chatufim, Be'ezus Hashem, Mheira. They should be healthy. All those in need of Refuah Shleima should have one, and there should be Shalom in all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, in yesterday's shiur we had a machlokas between Rav and Rav Yochanan. Rav said in regards to a Ravon, a down payment, the pikadon that was deposited. So if it wasn't equal to the entire value of the loan, let's say, so Rav said, kinegdo hu kone, that deal went through, but only for the equivalent part of the down payment. The rest, a person could say, no, I'm reneging on the rest of the deal. I'm going back on the rest of the deal and not be doing something that is wrong. Rav Yochanan Amar, no, kineged kula hu kone. He says, no, that down payment, so that went and purchased essentially the entire object. And therefore, if a person doesn't receive the rest of the item, there's a problem, and there's going to be a Misha Parah. The person is doing something wrong. Okay, that was the machlokas we had yesterday, Rav of Yochanan. We'll start off with a Maaser Shehaya, and then we'll see, we'll get back to that machlokas a little bit. So the Gemara begins on Mem Tes Omen Aleph with the words, Rav Kahana, about 12 lines down from the top of the Omen. Rav Kahana, Yavule Zuze Akisna. Once Rav Kahana was given money by somebody to go and provide them with Kisna. Kisna is flax, linen. So these people gave Rav Kahana money to go and buy flax. However, Lisof Iyaker Kisna. So they gave him $100 to buy flax, but the price of flax went up. So what previously would have been $100 worth of flax, now is only going to buy you $50 worth of flax. The flax prices went up. So what happened? Rav Kahana didn't know what to do. He wanted to obviously not give them the flax at the higher price, but they'd given him money already. So also came to Rav. So he went to Rav to ask him, what's the halacha? Rav was his rebbe. He went to Rav to ask him the shayla. Abalei, Rav told him, b'mai dinikita zuzi havlu. That amount of flax that they gave you money for that you can purchase nowadays. So let's say they gave you $100. Originally, we've been able to purchase 2X of flax, and now you can only purchase 1X of flax. So you have to give them the 1X of flax. That's the amount of money that they gave you. The edach and the other X, the other amount of flax that they paid for originally, but now it's not worth it. So that you don't have to give. Edach devorim ninu. It's just words. You just said that I will give that to you. But since the prices went up, you're not a bad person. You didn't do a Misha Parah. Rashi is going to tell us you only have the Misha Parah if you retract what you said and nothing has changed. However, if there was a shinui in the shar, ein kan chisaron emana. So then there is no problem over here. Listen, I agreed to give you this amount of flax for $100, but the prices went up. So you didn't make a kinyan on the flax yet. So therefore, I don't have to go and pay you the entire amount. That's Rav Lishitaso, who says that only the amount that they gave him, you are responsible for. So this $100 now only buys half the flax that it did originally. So all he has to do is to buy them with half that flax. The other amount that he said he would give them originally, but now the money doesn't cover it. That's just Dvarim Ninu and Udvarim Ein Bemishu Mechusre Amana. There is no going back on his word over here because things have changed. Now, Rav says that the word over here, you're not going back on your word because he holds the Itmar Dvarim in regards to these words, Rav Amar Ein Bohem Mishum Mechusri Amana in such a situation. As Rashi brings down in Dibra Masu Shelo Yidaber Echad Bepeh Bechule, he says, Bishah Shu Omer HaDibor, at the time that he said the Dibor, Lo Yeh Bedato Lishanos. You're right, he shouldn't have in mind, I'm not going to follow through on what I said. And if things didn't change, so then he would be Chayiv, it would be Mechusri Amana. However, im nishtana hashar li achar zman, but if the prices went up, if the market changed, v'uchozer bo lefi shino yashar, the only reason he's retracting is because of the change in the market prices, ein kan chisaron amona. That's not considered, according to Rav, a chisaron amona. Lishitaso, Rav Yochanan disagrees. Rav Yochanan Amar, yesh behem mishum mechusri amona. He says, no, you said you'd give him this amount of flax for $100. The fact that the prices went up, that's your problem. And therefore, this is chisuri amona, according to Rav Yochanan. Each of them, again, going lishitaso from yesterday. Now, Meisvei, we're going to ask the following brisa. Seems to be a problem for Rav. The brisa states, Rav Yossi reviewed the Omer. The Tanya Rav Yossi Yehuda says, what does the Pasuk mean? The Pasuk tells us, Mosnei Tzedek, Avnei Tzedek, Eifas Tzedek, Vihin Tzedek, Yeluchem. This tells us that a person must be very, very careful in their measures, and their weights. You have to be very careful not to cheat somebody. If you're selling something for a pound, you better give them a full pound, not 15 ounces. You have to be very, very careful in your measures. Now, a ephah is a much larger amount. Rashi says an ephah is an amount of 72 lugin, whereas a hid is only 12 lugin. So Rav Yosef Yehuda says, when the pasuk tells us all of these measures, you have to be exact in them. You have to be doing justice with them. So, matamud lomer hin tzedek, falo hin bichlal eifahaya. Why did it repeat and tell us after it tells us avdei tzedek that you have to have your measures being correct? Eifas tzedek, and eifas to be correct. So, of course, the hin tzedek. Of course, the hin also has to be correct. Why did it need to repeat hin tzedek? It's included in the eifah. If the eifah has to be exact, so too does the hin have to be exact. Oh. So Rav Yosef Yehuda says the reason why the Torah repeated it is not for the measure itself. El Olam Malachot, the teachers this did, that Rav Yochanan just said, Shiyehei Hein Shelchot Tzedek, V'lav Shelchot Tzedek. That what you say with your mouth, yes or no, I will do this, I will not do this, you should follow through on it. You should be honest. If you said something, do it. And therefore, whether you said, yes, I will do it, or whether you said, no, I will not do that, so then you should follow through and do what you said. That's the hin. The word hin is a play on the word yes. Therefore, that's what the pasuk is teaching us. Now, this goes according to Rav Yochanan. It's a kasha on Rav. So how do we answer that? So I'm Abaye answers for Rav, and he says, "How shlo yedaber echa bepeh v'echa b'lev." That is what we read in the Rashi before. The Rashi, the Dibur Maaseh shlo yedaber. This is where it's from. We needed it before, but this is the understanding that as long as you weren't two-faced, as long as you weren't lying up front, you really intended to do what you said. You were going to give him $100 worth of flax because that's what the flax is, $100. But then the prices went up, so things changed. Uncontrolled by you. You didn't intentionally say something that you knew from the start that you wouldn't follow through on. The prices went up. You were basically saying, I will give you this amount of flax at $100 if that's what the market prices still are. But if the market prices change, then I can't do that for you. So therefore, Abaye says, this only is a problem if you lie up front. But if things change, it's not considered a lie. It's not considered that you're mechusrei amon. Again, Akash and Rav Mesa, we bring down the following brisa. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, Afo bishamu talis kone dinar zahav, v'ein dinar zahav kone talis, our Mishnah that says that if you have a garment, the talis again is always a garment, doesn't mean literally our talis gadol, but it means a garment. So if you're exchanging a garment for gold, so when you go and take the garment, so then the gold automatically transfers over to the other person. However, giving over just the gold, that doesn't acquire the garment for the other person. That true is the halacha. Nevertheless, the rabbis instituted, the rabbi said, Aval Amru, Misha Para, Mian Shedar Amabul, Mian Shedar Aflago, who wants to be Para, Mimish Eno Omid Bidiburo. So our Mishnah says, you got it. Follow through on what you said. Granted, min hadin, the deal doesn't go through. Mid araisa mos ain't konos. That's the assumption that we're working with here. Or even if you say that mos are konos the raisa, the rabbis made exera like Rav Yochanan, or as we said, mos aren't konos mid araisa like Reish Lakish. Bottom line is, therefore, when you gave over the gold, that's money in this situation. It doesn't automatically acquire the garment, and the person can technically back out. However, he said he would do this. And therefore, if you back out, you're mechusrei amonah and you're chayav mishapara. So therefore, this goes exactly like Rav Yochanan and it's a kasha on Rav. And in fact, Rashi points out, the real raya over here is from the end of the Mishnah from Rabbi Shimon, where it says, and that's why we bring the raya over here, Rabbi Shimon Omer. So it says in the end of the Mishnah, Rashi brings down Dibur Maaseh Avo Amru Chachamim v'chulei, Seif Oktani, Hachozer Bo Ein Ruach Chachamim Nocha Heimenu. It says Beferish, that's not pleasing to the rabbis. Amo yesh b'mishum mechusri amana. So this is exactly like Rav Yochanan and Akash and Rav. So where it says Yotaka, right? Our Mishnah goes according to the opinion of Rav Yochanan, but it's a machlokas tanoim. Tanoihi. This, in fact, is a machlokas tanoim. And Rav holds like the other tanoic approach as opposed to this one from our Mishnah. Where do we see this? We have a Mishnah later in the Masechta on Daf Pei Gimel. The Tanan, it says over there in the Mishnah, Ma'is Rav Yochanan ben Matzya, Shamal of No. One time there was a Ma'isa with Rav Yochanan ben Matzya who told his son to go hire some workers. say, Uschar lanu poalim. Go and hire some workers for whatever they needed. No, his son dutifully went, halach upasach le mizonos. The custom in those days was that when you hired the workers, you would also provide them with lunch. So therefore, the son went, hired the workers, and told them, I will give you lunch without defining what lunch would be. He came back and told his father, Yochanan ben Maaseya, I hired these workers and I promised them lunch. His father said, all right, we got a problem now. When he came to his father and told him what happened, his father said back to him, Bini, my son, afilu ata osa lehem kisuda shlomo b'shaito lo yotza yedei chovos choimohem. Even if you go and prepare for them a suda like Shlomo HaMelech would have. This is an expression that we use in a number of places. For example, it says in Tisha B'Av Shecholios B'Shabbos, it says v'shal l'shudis, you're allowed to even have a suda like Shlomo HaMelech. You can have meat, you can have wine, you can have everything because it's Shabbos. And even though it's Tisha B'Av, so nevertheless, you're going to fast on Sunday, but normally the suda hamafsekis is a very bare bones meal, and it certainly can't have meat or wine. So nevertheless, if that shalish shudis is Tisha B'Av Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, you're allowed to have even a suda like Shlomo HaMelech B'Shaito. Imagine going to Shlomo HaMelech's feast. He has a state dinner. Imagine the delicacies and the unbelievable food that they're going to have there. This would be the shmog to kill all shmogs. So therefore, he says, even if you give them that, you're still not going to be Yotze, because Shehein B'nei Avram Yitzhak Yaakov, you have workers here that are Jewish workers, and they are the sons of Avram Yitzhak Yaakov. Nothing that you could give them is as what they actually deserve because of their being the sons of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. And therefore, he said, before they start working, go and retract what you said. Elo, achelo yaschilu b'mlocha, before they actually start working. We'll see in a moment that makes a difference. If they started working, then he would have a problem. It would be a retraction that wouldn't be allowed. But here, Rav Yochanan ben Maaseya is telling his son, we can still go back on our word at this point in time before they start working, say them or let them go and tell them, Al minas, that lunch which I promised you, she'en luchem alai, you don't have any kindness against me if I give you ela pas v'kidneys bovad. I'm going to give you bread and I'm going to give you some kidneys. I'll give you bread and beans and that's it. And you have to be satisfied with that or else they'll come and work. So therefore, he retracted his words. Originally, he said, I'll give you mizonos without definition. And now he's defining it. So the Gemara now asks, if you have over here the concept that you're not allowed to go back on your words, so how can he do this? How can he go tell his son, you retract your words, go back on your word? Oh, this goes like Rav. So therefore, Rav Yochanan ben Maaseya is in accord with Rav, and the Braisa that we just brought down, Rabbi Shimon Omer, who says, you're not allowed to go back on your words, so that goes like Rav Yochanan. So this is a Machlokes Tanoim. The Machlokes Rav Yochanan and Rav also is a Machlokes Tanoim. Rav Shimon versus Rav Yochanan ben Maaseya. Shmuel says, no. In fact, you don't have to say this is a Machlokes Tanoim. In fact, Rav Yochanan ben Maaseya could be going in accord with the opinion of Rav Yochanan. And why is that? Because Shiny Hossam, the case of Yochanan ben Maaseya, is the Poalim over there, the Poalim Gufayu, those Poalim that his son hired, know that the son doesn't control the purse, and that it's the father who has to make the decision. So when the son said, I'll give you a suda, they couldn't expect to have a gourmet smorgasbord. Lo somcha datayu. They didn't necessarily rely upon the son. Oh yeah, we're going to get a gourmet smorgasbord. No. We're going to wait and see what the father tells us. My time, may the yade the al avua samach. Why is this so? Because they know that it's the father who makes the final decisions. The father is the one that's going to pay them. The father is the one that's going to provide them lunch. And the son says, yeah, you're going to get lunch. So we, at this point, don't rely that we're going to get a suda like Shlomo HaMelech. We know, let's see what the father has to say. No, now the father's telling him, this is what the lunch will be. And therefore, it's not called retracting. It's not going back on your word. So this could even be in accord with Rav Yochanan. And I'll show you that this is right, because the Gemara says, "Ihachi." If this is true, so then afilu ischilu b'mlochanami. So then, wait a second. Why, if they're trusting the father, can it be that the father can only retract these words before they started working, even after they started working, before lunch? So they should know it's up to the father. And therefore, even though the son said you'll get a suda, and that didn't have any limits to it, the father might limit it. So why don't we say this even after they started the work? So the Gemara says, "Hischilu b'mlocha vade somchei datayu." Oh, this exactly proves the point. Once they started working, mistama, the father agreed to the terms, right? Before they started working, who said the father agreed to the terms? But once they started working, mistama, the son told the father said, okay, fine, no problem. I'll bring out a really nice spread. And therefore, There is no retraction over here once they started working. But before they started working, they understood. Samchu datayu. It would be up to what the father wants. Once they started working, the son obviously told the father, because we started working, and the father would not have allowed us to start working unless he had approved the deal. So therefore, that's the difference between starting to work and not starting to work. But Lav Davka is Rav Yochanan ben Masya in accord with Rav. Rav Yochanan ben Masya could be in accord with Rav Yochanan, and we can't say it. This is a Machlokes Tanoi. Now the Gemara questions Rav Yochanan. Did Rav Yochanan really say that if you go back on your word, that's automatically in Mechusri Amana? After all, we have the following story. Rabba Bar Chana said to Rav Yochanan, if Reuven says to Shimon, Maton ani nosin l'cha, listen, Shimon, I like you. Here's a present. I'm going to give you a present. Yochel lachzubo. He hasn't given it to him yet. He's able to go back on his word and not give him the present. So Rav Yochanan, as reported by Rabba Bar Chana, certainly says, you're not Mechusri Amon if you go back on your word. So how can you tell me Rav Yochanan so makbid, you're not allowed to go back on your word? So Gemara says, Yochel? What did we say over here that Rabba Bar Chana said to Rav Yochanan that if you give to your friend Matana and then you retract it, if you say, I will give you a Matana, and then you want to retract it, Yochel Lachsobo. What is this lashon of Yochel? You are allowed to go and retract it. Pshit, of course you can. What does it mean? Ela muter lachzibo. The chiddush of Yochanan is that you are even lichatchila allowed to do so. Of course, if there was no kinyan, so of course you physically aren't obligated. The law says that only if you made a kinyan mashicha is there a change in the ownership. If you didn't make a kinyan mashicha, so then of course he doesn't own it. So when we use the lashon of Yochel Lachso, it meant that even lechatchila you're allowed to. So that's the kashan of Yochanan. Here you see that he goes back on his word, and yet it's not called Mechusri Amon. He's allowed to do this lechatchila. So how do we answer this up? So on Rav Pop says it makes a difference on what type of present you're talking about. Umod Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan agrees that if it's b'matana mu'etes, if it's a relatively small type of a gift, then you can't retract it. The samcha datayu. Because listen, I give you a cookie, so that person says, okay, a cookie, I expect to get that from him. And he's so mechiz das. And therefore, if you go back on your word, that is mechusri amana. That is, you went back on your word. That's not right. But the guy says, listen, I'm going to give you this building as a present because you've been nice to me. So then, a large gift, the person really doesn't expect to get that large gift until he actually gets it. And therefore, he's not so mechdas on the person. And therefore, Reuven, who's giving a very large gift, has the right to still retract it. And it's not called mechusri amana until he actually gives it over to Shimon. Now, I'll show you that this is right. The says, Hochanan Mistav. It makes sense. Because we have another statement said over the name of Yochanan. Domer Rabbi Avo, Omer of Yochanan. Rabbi Avo said over the following statement in the name of Yochanan. You have a regular Yisrael, Sha'om Ale Ben Levi. Yisrael tells a person who's a Levi, he's a Ben Levi, he's a Levi himself, and he tells him, listen, I'm taking off my field, my Trumas and my Yisros. This core that I have in the field of Meiser, which is Meiser Rishon, Yesh l'cha biyodi. I'm giving it to you. Now, he hasn't physically handed it to him. So the Yisrael, Reuven, goes and tells this Levi, we'll call him Levi, so he says to him, I'm giving you a kur of Meiser Rishon, but he hasn't given it to him yet. Now, this is considered a small present, Rashi explains, because the Meiser Rishon doesn't really belong to Reuven. All he has is the rights, what we call Tovas Hanor. He can give it to whichever Levi he wants. And that's considered a small thing. So giving over this kor, which is a large amount, it's 30 saw worth of Meiser Rishon, so nevertheless, that's considered a small present. So when this Yisrael, Reuven, goes and tells the second person, we'll call him Levi instead of Shimon, because he's a Levi, so this is yours, even though he didn't hand it over. So this Levi guy, this Ben Levi, Rashai Lasoso Trumas Meiser Amokam Acher. This is now his Meiser Rishon. He happens to have other produce elsewhere that he's not allowed to go and eat his Meiser Rishon until he takes off 1/10, the Trumas Meiser, the Meiser Ben Meiser. So he's declaring, listen, I got another bunch of crop elsewhere that's Meiser Rishon that is Tevel in terms of taking off Trumas Meiser. So that other Meiser Rishon needs to have its Trumas Meiser taken from it. And this core of Meiser Rishon, I'm going to use that as my Trumas Meiser on this very large amount that I have elsewhere. This 10 cores that I have elsewhere. So this core over here, which is Meiser Rishon, which hasn't had the Trumas Meiser taken off, I'm going to designate this entire core to be the Trumas Meiser on the rest of my Meiser Rishon that I have elsewhere. This is exactly 1/10, and therefore it's going to be my Trumas Meiser on everything else. Now, he never took possession of it. So, this is considered a small gift. And if, in fact, you say that he can't retract it, because Rav Yochanan holds, you can't retract a small gift, oh, then it makes very good sense. That's why this Ben Levi is allowed to go and designate this Trumas Meiser from this Meiser Rishon that he got, because it's his. It can't be retracted upon. But if you tell me, Eliyamis, Motzi Lahadadeh, if, in fact, the guy could go back on his word, so now, this Ben Levi designated this as Trumas Meiser. He goes to the rest of his Meiser Rishon, and he says, you are no longer Tevel for Trumas Meiser. You are now perfectly set up Meiser Rishon that I can go and eat. It's not Tevel for Trumas Meiser. It's perfectly edible Meiser Rishon for me. And he's going to eat it. And you know what happens? How can he do this? Am I Rashai? Because if Reuven can go and retract his present, so then it turns out that the Trumas Meiser that he designated isn't really Trumas Meiser. And the Meiser Rishon that he's now eating is in fact Tevel with Trumas Meiser. Ishtachach to Ka'ochel Tfolim. And it turns out that he's eating Tevel. Ah! Rabbi Avo says in the name of Rav Yochanan, you see from here that this in fact is a small matana and it can't be retracted. That is the opinion of Rav Yochanan. Where it says, Lav Tavka, you can't bring a rye from here. Because you know what this case is talking about? Hoch Mayaskinan, you know what we're talking about? That this person, Reuven, he physically handed over this core of Maisa Rishon to Levi. Kigon Shinitolo Mimenu. Levi actually took it. And then he said, listen, I don't have a silo of my own. Thank you. Can you please store this in your silo? And Reuven said, yeah. V'chazer v'fkido etzlo. So he had actually done a kinyan mashiach on it. He'd made a kinyan on it. It actually belonged to him. Reuven can't retract once it belongs to Levi. And that's the scenario over here. And that's why Levi's allowed to go and rely upon this as being Trumas Meiser for his Meiser Rishon that was Tevel a Trumas Meiser elsewhere. Now, Mor says, if that's true, then we got a problem with the next statement that Rav Yochanan made. Ihachi emasefa. The next statement that he made goes as follows. Nisano leben Levi acher. If, in fact, Reuven retracted from giving this Maaser Rishon to Levi number one, and instead he gives it to Levi number two. Nisano leben Levi acher. So ein lo olav elo tarobis. So then, Levi number one, all he has the right to is to be upset with Reuven. He doesn't have the right to demand it back in court. He just has the right to be upset. Hey, you promised you gave this to me. You went back on your word. Now, if you're talking about Viso Kedaitoch, like in the Reisha, that he actually Kigon Shinitolo Mimenu, so then Kigon Shinitolo Mimenu, the Chazer Vivkidotso, and then he gave it back to him, so then how can Reuven go give it to Levi number two? And lo olav elo tarumis? He would only have a tarumis on him? No. Kivin Demoshle Mamona Islegabe, since he actually made a kinyan mashiach on it, so then it belongs to him. And then Levi number one owns it. Reuven, even though he's been given it by Levi number one to hold, he can't go give it to Levi number two. Oh, what must it be? Elolav shmamina b'delo natolo. Oh, it is a good proof. In fact, it wasn't a case where Levi took possession of it and then gave it back to Reuven as a pikadon. No, b'delo natolo, the Reisha and the Sefer are both obviously talking about where he didn't go and take it. Oh, and therefore, shmamina, this is a good raya, that you can't go and retract your words. Yochanan is correct in saying that if you're mechusrei amana, if you go and retract your words, and therefore it is considered as it belongs to Levi because you're not allowed to go back on your word. Another Maisa Shoya. How Gavra, the Yoav Zuze Ashum Shme. There once was a person who went to another man. So Reuven, let's say, went to Shimon. And he said, I'm giving you money over here to buy Shum Shme. Again, he gave him the money. And Lesof Yaker Shum Shme. The price of the sesame, the Shum Shme, went up. So there was no Kenyan yet made on the sesame. So Reuven gave Shimon the $100 to buy sesame. And Hadrubhu the Amrule less lon shumshmi. So therefore, Shimon in this situation, it's in the plural lashon here, so it's not just Shimon, it's all of the people that were the local sesame merchants. So they said back to Reuven, Hadrubhu, they all retracted for Amrule, and they said to Reuven, less lon shumshmi. We don't have any shumshmi, the prices went up, and therefore, Shkosuzuk, we'll give you back your money. However, Reuven said, I'm not taking back my money. Lo shaku zuze. He didn't take back his money. He said, no, I want my sesame. No, meanwhile, Igdo, Meanwhile, the money that Reuven had given to Shimon was stolen. Now, they went to a Din Torah. Also, coming to Rava, they went to Rava to pass in the Din Torah, and Amale, Rava said to Reuven, who wanted to buy the sesame, Kivan di Amre Loch, Shko Zuzach, Velo Shaklis, since they told you, we don't have sesame. And they said, take back your money, and you didn't take it back, so then, guess what? Not only lo mi baya shomer socha d'lohavi, not only are they not a shomer socha for you, but they're not even considered a shomer chinam. Ela afilu shomer chinam nami lohavi. They're not even considered a shomer chinam to you because they told you to take back the money and you didn't take back the money. It's your own fault. And therefore, they're not even responsible if they were posheya over here because they said, take back your money. We're not accepting any responsibility for it. Now, Amulei Rabban LeRava. So the rabbis who listened to this Din Torah, they said to Rava, but wait a second. Vaha Boyle Kabuli Ale Mishapara. Wait a second. These people who were selling the sesame, let's call them Shimon. Shimon had agreed to sell the sesame, so how come he's not Chayv Mishapara? He retracted his word. So Taka, Rava says, Amulei, yeah, Hochanam, yeah, I didn't say that. Of course, he is also a Mishapara that's going to go on Shimon because he was given the money and he agreed to it. And even though the prices went up, he held that the Shimon, the person who's selling the sesame, is obligated to go and do it and take the loss. And therefore, he's Chayv Mishapara. Now, that's the way the story was said over. Rapapi says, no, that's not the way the story was. Amali Ravina himself told me this story. And he says, L'didi Amali Haomi Rabbanon. I know the person who is supposedly the Shimon here selling the sesame. And I heard this story myself from him. And his name was V'Rav Tuvos Shimei, or others say V'Amrile Rav Shmuel Bazutra Shimei. This person who said all the story was either this rabbi who was named Rav Tuvos, or it was this rabbi who was named Rav Shmuel Bazutra, who was an impeccably honest person. And it was said about this person, either this Rav Tuvos or this Rav Shmuel Bazutra, D'i havu yovile kol halolo di alma lo havi kol mishanibi diburei. If you'd give him all the money in the world, if you'd give him everything that's hidden away, everything that's in the halalim of the world, if you gave him all the gold that's buried in the ground, he would never go and change one iota from what he said. He was impeccably honest. Lo havi kol mishanei b'dibori. No matter how much money you gave him, he wouldn't change what he said. And this person, either this Rav Tavos or Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra, was the person in the story. And he personally related it to Ravina himself. And that's what Rapapi is now telling us. And he said, B'didi havayudah, this story that you just said, that was me. I was the Shimon in this story. B'didi havayudah, this story happened to me. What happened? How Yoma, one day, and it was Erev Shabbos, Friday afternoon, Apanya Damali Shabbat Tahava, it was late on Friday afternoon, and this guy Reuven comes up to me. Father Yosibna, I'm sitting in my house, and this guy Reuven comes up and knocks on the door of my house and says to me, Amali, do you have any sesame to sell? Erev Shabbos. 10 minutes before Shabbos, Reuven comes to Shimon, knocks on his door. This Shimon is this Rav Tavos or this Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra. And he asks him, do you have sesame to sell? And he responds back, we turn to Memtes Omid Beis, and Amrele Lo, this impeccably honest person, said, no, I don't have any sesame. Amrele, this Reuven says to this impeccably honest Rav Tavos or Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra, whoever it was, and he says to him, watch my money for me. Nope, it's 10 minutes before Shabbos. I'm scrambling to find a place to stay for Shabbos. Can you hold on to my money for me? Now, he told him, this Rav Tavos or Rav Shmuel told him, he said, listen, I don't want to go and hold on to your money. You want to put it in my house? You're welcome to put it in my house. On relay, he told him, my house is in front of you, but I'm not taking any responsibility to watch your money. You want to put it in my house? You're welcome to do so, but I'm not a shomer on it. Nu, what happens? Osvinu, nevertheless, Reuven put it away in the house, and it was stolen. Osvinu b'veisa v'ignav, and it was stolen. Now, they came through Din Torah. This Reuven goes and takes this Rav Tavos, or this Rabbi Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra, whatever his name was, he takes this impeccably honest person to the Din Torah. And also the Kami de Rava, they go to Rava, and Amalei, Rava says to him, Kol ha beisa kamach, when he told you, Reuven, my house is open in front of you to put it away, Lo mi boy shom esachar lo havi. Not only was he not accepting upon himself to be shom esachar, el afilu shom echinam nami lo havi. He wasn't even accepting upon himself to be shom echinam. This lashon that my house is open to you, but at your own risk. You're taking full responsibility for it. I don't mind if you put it there, but I'm not taking any responsibility for it, and therefore, Reuven isn't entitled to any compensation. Okay, that was the story. But now, Amrei Leih, the way Ravina said over the story, it says, V'ha Amrei Leih Rabbanan L'Rava, but we had it in the first version of the story that after Rava had paskin that you don't have to pay anything for him because you didn't take any responsibility, the Tamidim asked Rava, Iboy Alei Lekabuli Alei Mishapara, but isn't there a Mishapara via? Because the original story we had it was that the person had agreed to buy sesame. Reuven had given $100 to Shimon to buy sesame for him, and Shimon retracted, and there was a Mishapara. So where does that fall into the story over here with Rav Tavus or Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra? So Omer Li, so this person said, either Rav Tavus or Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra said, Lo Hayin Dvar Miyol, that part never was true because there never was any agreement over here about sesame. I told him, I don't have any sesame. And therefore, this is the real story. Okay, we quote the Mishnah now. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Shakesef Biyodo, Yodo Alho Yona. Now, we didn't have the word v'chule, but it says on the side, the tevas v'chule is meyusa, because there is no v'chule in the Mishnah. This was the whole Mishnah. Rav Shimon Omer, Kol Shakesef Yodo Yodo Alho. Whoever has the money, his hand's in the upper position, and he gets to decide whether he wants the deal to be going through or the deal not to go through. Now, we learn the Braisa to expand upon this. Tanya, Amar Rav Shimon said, Emosai, when do we say that Yodo Alho Yona, that's Emosai Bizman Shakesef the Haperos Biad Mocher, that's when the money and the peros are still in the hands of the seller. So Reuven gave Shimon $100 to buy whatever it is, the peros over here, and Shimon has still the peros. Reuven never made a kinyan on the peros, and he has the money. In that situation, Rabbi Shimon holds that only Shimon can retract. Reuven can't retract. Tanakama said Reuven could retract also. Rabbi Shimon says, no, the one who has the money, only he is the one that can retract. So Shimon, if he wishes to, can give Reuven the produce, the payros, or he can say, I'm sorry, I don't want the deal to go through, I changed my mind, and give him back the money. Now, that's if he has both of them, if Shimon has both the kesef and the payros. Avo kesef biad mocher, if the seller got the money, Shimon got the money, and u payros biad lokach, but Reuven took possession of the payros, so then, en yochel azbo, nobody can go back, certainly the person who sold it can't go back. Why? Because the money is already in the hands of Reuven. Morris says, what are you talking about? The money is in the hands of Reuven. Biyado, it's in the hands of Reuven. Biyad mocherhu, it's in Shimon's possession. So what are you telling me over here? That the reason why neither of them can reject is because Reuven has the money. Doesn't make any sense. Reuven gave the money to Shimon. Shimon's the one with the money. Reuven's the one now with the produce. Where it says, yeah, that's what we meant. Elo, mipnei shedemei kasbo, because the value of the money is biyado in Reuven's possession. In other words, Reuven got the value of the money, the $100 he gave to Shimon. He now has the $100 worth of produce. And that's why he can't go back. Where it says, pshita, who would have had a havamina to say go back? That's what's called a sale. Reuven acquired the object. He literally has it in his possession. Shimon literally has the money in his possession. Why would I need anybody to tell me that you can't retract in that situation? Someone says, no, there's a chiddush over here. Amar Rava, the chiddush is, this is the scenario. You didn't have the scenario correctly. Hach by Eskina, what are we talking about? The case goes as follows. Kigon shayisa aliyah shel lokeach muskeres biyad bocher. So what happened? It's the attic of Reuven is where Shimon is storing his produce. Shimon's selling stuff out of the attic of Reuven. Reuven says, either rent it to him, or he says, you can use my attic. So Shimon is selling produce from Reuven's attic. Now, why do we say normally that, according to Rav Yochanan, Mos Akonis Midaraisa, but the rabbis made Gzeira, that it's not considered yet in the possession of the buyer, Reuven, until Shimon actually gives it to him, until Reuven makes a Kinyan Mashiach on it, because we're concerned. Even though the Mos Akonis Midaraisa, a Gzeira, maybe there's going to be a fire there, and Shimon's not going to be incentivized to go and save everything, and Reuven is going to lose all his money. So that's under normal circumstances. Taima mai takina rabbanu mashicha. Why did the rabbis institute that you must make a mashicha, even though most akonos the rice according to Rav Yochanan, because of the gezerah shema yomalo nisuf l'itecha be'aliyah, because there's going to be a fire in the storehouse where Shimon has the produce, but it belongs already to Reuven. So he's going to say, big deal. I ain't going to wake it up in the middle of the night. I called the fire department. And I turned back over, went to sleep, and all your stuff burned down. But we made, therefore, a takana that it doesn't belong yet to Reuven, and this will incentivize Shimon to go up and save it. But in our case, we're talking about, where is this fire? It's in Reuven's house, because Shimon is holding the produce in Reuven's attic. And therefore, hocha b'rishusei delokechinu, it's already somewhat in Reuven's possession. And therefore, in this situation, inoflo rachbon l'slan, if there's deleka b'ones, if a fire breaks out there, through an ones, not that Shimon said it, there's an extension cord that is afraid, and there's a fire, there's a spark of electricity, and there's a fire. So the person himself, Reuven, he himself, it's his house. So he's going to go and put out the fire. And therefore, you can't say, well, it's not in his possession, and therefore it's a gzera that the rabbis made, that Shimon should go to protect it. Here, Reuven himself is incentivized to go protect it. It's his attic. It's his house, and therefore there's no reason to make the gezerah in this situation. And the chiddush over here is that in this situation where there is no gezerah that needs to be made, so then most are konos, and therefore this was a final deal when Reuven gave over the money. We go back to the din deraisa, most are konos, and therefore in this situation the most are konos, and neither of the two parties can retract because the deal went through already. Okay, now another ma'aseh to show you. How gavra d'yoav zuzei acharma. Reuven went and paid Shimon for wine. L'sof, shoma, the koboy l'minsevei debei parzak rupila. Subsequently, before Reuven actually took possession of the wine from Shimon, he heard that this person, this parzak, that's the name of the person, who is rupila, who's a Mishnah Lamelech, he's an important guy. He's the number two. He's the Mishnah Lamelech. So he's going to come and confiscate all the wine. So Reuven says to Shimon, I don't want your wine anymore because it's going to be taken away. So Amale Habli Zuze. So Reuven says back to Shimon, listen, I don't want this deal anymore. The wine is going to be commandeered by this Parzak, the Mishnah Lamelech, and therefore give me back my money. Havli Zuze, he tells him, Lo bein acharma, I don't want the wine anymore. No, Shimon says, no, well, listen, I want the sale to go through. So also, come to the Ruchisla, they went to Ruchisla for Din Torah. So Amalei Ruchisla says to them, Kederech shetiknu mishicha b'mochwin, just like the original din that the rabbis made, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that Moos HaKonos Midaraisa. But the rabbis came along and said, in order to protect Reuven, so Shimon is considered still in possession of the wine, so Shimon will be incentivized to go and protect the wine. So Kederech shetiknu mishicha b'mochwin, just like the rabbis instituted, there's a requirement for mishicha over here, and until the Mashiach takes place, the seller, Shimon, is allowed to retract. So too, kach tiknu Mashiach b'lekuchas, it works both ways. That just like the seller can retract, Shimon can retract, because there was no Mashiach yet, and the rabbis would go that there has to be a Mashiach, so too, this also works to benefit Reuven. Until the Mashiach takes place, he also can go and retract. So Rav Kahana Paskin, that in this situation, the person can go and ask for his money back, because the wine is going to be commandeered anyway by this bad person, the Mishnah Lamelech. Okay, now we go to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah is introducing us to a very famous sugya, the sugya of Onah. Onah is cheating. Just to give a very, very short overview, we're going to have a couple of different shitos over here as to how and when Onah works. And basically, this Onah, this overcharging or undercharging, this cheating, there are three different ways to divide it up. Divide it up into a over or undercharge that is less than the shear of Onah. We'll have a machlokas. Is that a sixth or is that a third? And then you'll have an exact shear of onah, either a sixth or a third. And then we'll have where it's more than a sixth or more than a third of the overcharge or undercharge, the onah. And those are the three categories that we're going to be speaking about. And we'll have different shitos in what is the halacha in those categories. Does a sale go through? Does a sale not go through? Can either side prevent the sale from going through? Can they allow the sale to go through? Does the sale go through, but they have to repay the overcharge or undercharge? All of these things are going to be discussed. And again, there are going to be two opinions as to what the onah level is. Is it a sixth or is it a third? So that little brief introduction, let us start the Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, onah, the shear of onah, what we call an overcharge or an undercharge, this shear of cheating is arba kesef. It's four kesef, which is silver mos. me esrim v'arba kesef lasela, which is when you're dealing over here with 24 silver mos, which is, by the way, a sela. So if you overcharge or undercharge 4 of 24, shtus lemekach, that is a sixth of the mekach. We'll have to explain how you determine what this sixth is. Do you look at the price that was paid, or you look at the objective value? This would be a machlokas that we'll have between Rav Shmuel and the Gemara. So for right now, we're just learning it very simple. So 4 of 24 is the shear of onah. If you over or undercharged 4, if the value was 24, so then there is definitely, everybody agrees, that is the shear of onah. Now, how long do you have to go and say, hey, I was cheated? Admasay mutar lahachzir. When Reuven purchases this from Shimon, and he claims afterwards, hey, I overpaid it. How long does a shear does he have to go and get back the money, or to have the deal be null and void? Again, this will be discussed. Right now, we seem to be saying in the Mishnah, admasay mutar lahachzir, is that the situation, he can demand to get back all of his money, and that the sale is null and void. Or, at least he can demand to get back the overcharge. So, admasay mutar lahachzir, how much time does he have? He can't go back 5 years later and say, hey, you overcharged me. How much time does he have to go and say, this deal is null and void, or give me back my overcharge? So, ad kidei shiyare letagor, until he either shows it to a professional, says, hey, you got rooked on this deal, or lekrovo, or to his relatives, and say, hey, you got rooked on the deal. And that's a set amount of time, which the Gemara will discuss a little bit more. Now, Hori Rabbi Tarfon Belud. Rabbi Tarfon paskined in Lud, and this will introduce us to the Tagre Lud discussion, which we'll have in more detail tomorrow, and I have a big handout on this tomorrow. It's a very famous sugya. So Hori Rabbi Tarfon Belud. Rabbi Tarfon paskined in Lud that Ha'onah is not 1/6. Ha'onah is Shmona Kesef, the Esim V'Arba Kesef Lasela. He says it's 8 of these silver mos when you have 24 of these mos, which is equal to 1 sela. So Rabbi Tarfon rules for the Tagre Lud, he ruled in Lud that, in fact, the shear of onot is a third, which is shlish lemekach, a third of the price. Now, the Samchu Tagre Lud, the people in Lud, the Tagre Lud, the merchants of Lud, were very, very happy with this. Why is that? Because, hey, instead of them having to go and say a deal is null and void if they overcharged by a sixth, now the deal is not null and void until they overcharged by a third, a much larger amount. So they were very happy with this. Amalem, don't be so happy. Rabbi Tarfon says to them, don't be so happy. Kol ayom mutar lahachzir. He said, in fact, that not only is the shear for returning it, however, kidei shiyiru letagor lekrovo, which is a shorter period of time, but they have all day to go and return it and say that they were overcharged. So the Tagre Lud said, nothing doing. Amalo, they said to Rabbi Tarfon, yaniach lanu Rabbi Tarfon bimkomenu, nu, keep your third overcharged shita to yourself, v'chazru l'divrei chachamim, and let us go back to the opinion. While it's a sixth is the overcharge, not a third, so it's worse for us in that respect, but at least it's a shorter period of time, akidei shiyiru letagor lekrovo, and not the full day. And again, a lot of these things will be explained more in the Gemara, but we introduce here the machlokes between the Tanakama, who says that the onoah is a sixth, the shita of Rabbi Tarfon that says it's a third, and then the shita of the Tanakama that says you have all the time to return it is admasay mutar lahachzir, is only kidei shiyiru letagor lekrovo, and the shita of Rabbi Tarfon that you have all day, he says that you have all day kol ayom mutar lahachzir. So these are the shitas that we're beginning to discuss in the Mishnah, and the Gemara begins as follows. Itmar, we learned, Rav Amar Shtus Mekach Shoninu. That which we're saying is a sixth. How do we calculate that sixth? So Rav is of the opinion, and everybody agrees to this, so just see there's a Malchokas and something else. Rav is of the opinion that you calculate the sixth based upon the Mekach. We'll call that the objective value of the item. So the item is worth, for example, 24 mos, so therefore 1/6 of that would be 4 kesef, would be 4 mos, and therefore that is the shear of onar. You calculate it based upon what it is objectively worth, what's called the mekach, and therefore that is how you calculate the sixth, or according to Rabbi Tarfon, the third. Ushmul disagrees. Ushmul amar, yes, I agree with you in regards to the shtus mekach shoninu, but he says as well also shtus mos nami shaninu. He says you look at the purchase price, and whatever that purchase price is, so 1/6 of that purchase price is considered the ono according to the Tanakama, or the 1/3 according to a retirement of the purchase price, not its objective value only. You look at both of these factors, either 1/6 of the objective value, what we call the mekach, or we say a sixth of the most, the amount that was actually paid. Now, let's look at this practically speaking. Nafgamina would be, if something was worth shove shisa, if the objective value was six, and you sold it b'chamisha, you sold it for five, or the objective value was six, shove shisa, and you sold it for seven, b'shiva. So then everybody, both Rav and Shmuel, say that you look at the objective value, the mekach, and if the overcharge or undercharge is a sixth, so that is the determination. So kuliyama lo pligi de basar mekach azlinan. In this situation, everybody agrees you go after the value of the item. So the item is objectively worth six, shave shisa. So whether you sell it for five, which is an undercharge of 1/6, if the value was six and you sell it for five, you're selling it for one less, so you've undercharged it a sixth. Or if you sold it for seven, you've overcharged it a sixth. If the value is six and you sell it for one more than that, so you've overcharged it a sixth. So in this situation, kuli amalo pligi the boss of mekach hazlin, and everybody would agree that this is a shear of onah of a sixth, the onah havia, and there's no question about that. Both Rav and Shmuel would agree to that. The question, would they have the machlokas, Rav Shmuel, is ki plige, if the item was shavi chamsha, if the item was only objectively worth five, and you sold it for six. Now, when you're selling it for six, so you've paid one more, but the value was only five, so that's a fifth of an overcharge, which is more than a sixth of an overcharge. Vishavi shiva, bishisa, or if it was worth seven, and you only sold it for six. So here, the one less that was sold for is one of seven. So it's a seventh. So in this situation, Lishmuel, who says, the Omar Bosar Moos Alinan, that you look at the money, and in this situation, in the first case, it was a one-fifth of a overcharge. In the second case, it was a one-seventh of an undercharge. Idi v'idi onahavi. Because if you look at the sale price was a six. And it was either one more or one less than the sale price of a six. So according to Shmuel, you look at the sale price, it is a shear of onah, of a sixth. But according to Rav, L'Rav, you are my boss, and that you look at the actual value of the item. So then according to Rav, in the first situation, it was worth five, shavei chamisha, and you sold it for six, b'shisa. So then that's a fifth of an overcharge. Bitul mekach havia. This is more than the shear of onah, and when the shear of onah is surpassed, so you're more than the shear of onah, then the deal is null and void. So in the first case of shavi chamisha b'shisa, according to Rav, it would be null and void. According to Shmuel, it would be a shear of onah, and you just have to pay back the onah, the extra excess that was charged. And in the second scenario here, shave shiva b'shisa, according to Rav, mechila havi, because this is only a 1/7 of an overcharge or an undercharge, and therefore you're meichelit. If it's less than the shear of onah, we assume that everybody is willing to accept a slight little overcharge or undercharge. According to Rav, it would be a regular mekach, and you're meichel on the little bit of the overcharge, the 1/7 of the overcharge or undercharge. Ushmul, I mean, no, ki amrina mechila obito mekach. According to Shmuel, when do the dinim of onah apply? For example, if it's greater than the shear of onah, the deal is null and void. If it's the shear of onah, the deal goes through. But we say that you just have to return the overcharge. So when does Shmuel say that? Hecha deleko shtus mishnei tzadim. That's when, whether you're looking at the objective value or whether you're looking at the actual sale price, that you don't have more than the shear of onah. Avol hecha deiko shtus mitzarecha. But if one of the two turns out to be a shtus, such as in the case that we just gave us, then Shmuel says, this is a din of onah, onah havya. Again, onah means it's exactly the amount of the overcharge, undercharge being a sixth, according to the Tanakhama, a third according to Rabbi Tarfon, and therefore the deal goes through. We don't say the deal is batel, but you have to go and return the amount that was overcharged. So this is where the machlokas is between Rav and Shmuel. Now, our Mishnah seems to be in accordance with Shmuel. It's not. We said in our Mishnah, Ho'onah, the example that we gave in the Mishnah of Onah was Dalit Kesef, the four mos, the silver four mos, may esim v'yarba kesef l'sela. If the overcharge or undercharge was four from a 24 amount. So therefore, shtus l'mekach, that was 1/6 of the purchase price. Now, my lav, aren't we talking about also shave esrim the esrim v'yarba? Aren't we talking about where the item was worth 20 and you had the overcharge of four? So in this situation, The Mishnah says you return the value of the overcharge, but the deal goes through. Ushmamino shtus mos nami shaninu. So doesn't our Mishnah also include the case where it was 4 from 20, which when you look at it, the purchase price was 24. So it's a sixth of the purchase price, albeit it's only a fifth of the 20 that it's an objective value. So it seems to be both ways, exactly like Shmuel. Shmamino shtus mos nami shaninu. Kashan rap. So it says, no, that's not what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah is talking about a case, lo, the Zavin Shavi Esrim V'Yarba B'Esrim. The Mishnah is talking about where the objective value was 24 and you undercharged it, you sold it for 20. Oh, but the 4 of 24 is a 6 and it goes like Rav. Where it says, that can't be because our Mishnah said, who's getting cheated over here? Minis Ana, Mocher, the one who sold it is being cheated. He sold something that's worth 24 for 20. And look at the next part of the Mishnah. It said, Ema Sefer. Until when can he go and say, hey, I was incorrectly charged? Ad Masay Mutla Haksir, we said, Bichtei Shiar Litagar Olikrova. The Tanakhama's opinion was until he gets to show it to a expert or to one of his relatives to say, hey, you didn't get the right price for it. Now, the Amar Rav Nachman commented on the Mishnah and said, Lo Shanu El Lokeach. That's only talking about the Lokeach, the one who purchased it. He has the amount of time that it takes him to go show it to the professional, the Tagar, or to his relative, Lekrovo. Avo Mocher, the one who sold it, Li Olam Choser, he can always go back because he doesn't have the item to compare it to. So if he only finds out 2 days later that he sold it for the incorrect amount, he can even go and say, hey, I just cheated. Now, clearly, our Mishnah is talking about where it was the person who purchased it who was overcharged. So therefore, it can't be talking about a case where it was objective value was 20 and he paid 24 for it, because then that would be a fifth according to Rav, and the deal should have been null and void. But our Mishnah said that's a case of onat, which is exactly a sixth. So it seems to be a raya to Shmuel. So therefore, Rav would have to learn it in the following way. The case in the Mishnah is talking about Ela Dezovin Shavi Esim V'Arba. It's objectively was worth 24, and the Esim Utmana Otamnaya, and it was sold for 28. So therefore, the person who sold it for more than it was worth. He sold it for 28. So the person who bought it overpaid for it by 4, which is 1/6 of the objective value of 24. So therefore Rav can learn our Mishnah. Where it says again, nah, we learned in our Mishnah, what about looking at Rabbi Tarfon? Now this is going to be the exact same proof as the Shaka V'Tarya, as we just had right now, as according to the Reisha, and Tosa says, why is it brought down again? It's the exact same thing. And anyway, we'll read it. So now, we learned in our Mishnah, Ho Rabbi Tarfon Belud, Rabbi Tarfon Paskin for the Tagri Lud, and he said, Ho no Shmona Kesef, Meyesim Rabo Kesef Lasela. He says, the Shir of Ono is a third, 8 of 24. Shlish Lamekach, 1/3. And aren't we talking about, again, the same question we just had before when it was a 6, but asking the same Shaka V'Tarya when it's a 3rd. My lab dissolving Shavei Shisre, aren't we talking about where the objective value was 16, Be'asim V'Yarva, and you sold it for 24. So there was an overcharge of this 3rd, of this 8 of the 24. Now, that implies that we look at the sale price and not at the objective value. Ushmamino shlish mos nami shaninu. So this goes like Shmuel. It's a kashan rab. Shmuel says, no. Again, lo, dizovin shavi esav yabar b'shisah. No, we're talking about it was objective value was 24 and he sold it for 16. So therefore, it is really the objective value, 1/3 of the objective value. And again, where it says, who was the one that was cheated over here? Minisana. It was the mocher. We're talking here about the mocher. The seller is cheated. He's selling something that's worth 24 for 16. But if we're talking about the seller being cheated, then it shouldn't have been, as we said before, that it's Kidei Shiyara Litagro Lekrovo. It should be not till he shows it to the professional or to his relative, but he should have all the time because he doesn't have the item with him. And the Gemara goes through the Shaka V'Tarya again. So Minasana the Mocher. So Eba Sefer, but keep on reading. It said, Amalehem Kol Hayom Mutu Lachsar, that according to Rabbi Tarfon, it's not the Shir of Yira Litagro or Lekrovo, but you have all day. So that clearly is talking about the one who purchased it. For Amar Rav Nachman, Lo Shanu Ela Lokeach. That's, again, Rav Nachman said, that's only talking about the one who purchased it. Avo Mocher, the one who sold it, since he doesn't have it in his possession, Leolim Choser, he has forever to go and say, hey, I was cheated. I just found out now. I didn't have anything to compare it to. And somebody just told me and showed me a couple of weeks later, hey, this is what the real cost is. So therefore, it's talking about the purchaser and not the Mocher. And therefore, it's not looking at it from the point of view, if it was worth 24 and it sold for 16, it can't be that case. And therefore, it still supports Shmuel and not Rav. So again, we give the same terrace as before. Ella dezovin shavi chavdalid b'tlos in the trade. Yeah, the objective value is 24. A third of that is 8. And he sold it, the mocher sold it for an overcharge of 8. It sold it for 32. And therefore, that is exactly like Rav said, and therefore no kashan Rav. Again, we try again. Tani kavasi de Shmuel. We have a brisa that supports Shmuel's shita. The brisa says, "Mi shehu tala olav yado alo yona." The one who has been cheated, he has the upper hand. What do we mean by this? Ketzad. Mochalo shavehei bivav. If the seller sold something that was objectively worth 5 for 6, now who's cheated over here? Minisana, the lokach, the one who purchased it for 6 when it is only objectively worth 5. He's the one that cheated. Yad lokach, therefore the purchaser, yado alhu el yona. He's the one that is in the better position. If he wishes, rotza, he's allowed to say, omer, tain li mo'osai, give me back my money because you overcharged me. Oh, tain li ma'asho nisi, or let's keep the deal as it is, just pay me back the amount that I was overcharged. So that works out great because the objective value was 5 and he paid for it 6, so according to Shmuel, everything works out very, very well because this is 1/6. So therefore, it's a case of onor, and the person has the right to say either give me back the money that you overcharged me, or the deal is null and void. Now, the next case is machalo. If on the other hand, then we turn to Nun Omid Aleph, he sold him something that was objectively worth 6, shavashesh bechamesh, and it's now being sold for 5. He's undercharging it. So minisana, who is being cheated in this situation? The seller. He's selling something that's objectively worth 6 for only 5. So in that situation, yad mocher alo yona. So then the seller, his hand is on the upper hand, and therefore it says rotsa omelo tainli michi. He has the right to say, I want the purchase to be given back, or he can say, oh, tainli masho nisani, or give me back the extra money that I undercharged you. Give me back that amount. Now, this works out well only according to Shmuel, but is a kasha on Rav, and that's why this is Tanya Kavosei de Shmuel. Now, we are in the middle of the sugya of the Tagri Lod, but already the shiur has gone on for 55 minutes, so we'll stop over here. We'll pick this up tomorrow. I will have a 2-page handout for tomorrow. Mitzvah Shem will hopefully make things a little bit easier. And Yitzhak Hashem will get through this wonderful sugya of Tagrei Lud. Have a great day.